2019. That's hard for me to believe. Seems like 2018 went by like that. David, that was an excellent communion devotion this morning. I appreciated that. And for the record, I'm a nerd too, so it's okay. It happens. Follow me. Jesus said these two words to 12 men over 2,000 years ago. And that changed the world as we know it. And today, you all, me, we are all given that very same invitation from Jesus. He says to us, just like he did those 12 men back then, he says the words, follow me. And when he asks us to follow him, what is he inviting us to? Well, he's inviting us to real life. He's inviting us to experience life with God, the life God created you to live. And he invites you to a life that is filled with true joy, pure joy, God's joy, even though things in this world are crazy. But you know, following Jesus takes courage, doesn't it? To be a follower of Jesus, we have to trust. It's not always an easy path when we answer Jesus' call to follow him. Do you ever get caught up in this life and believing that maybe you're just existing? Has anybody ever been there? You're just kind of here. We fall into that trap sometimes. Satan leads us to believe those thoughts that I'm just existing. But when we follow Jesus, when we answer his call to follow him, that's when we experience true life. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about following Jesus. We're going to consider his life here on this earth and the events that took place and the example we learn from those 12 disciples who followed after him. This is a new year. We have a new beginning according to the calendar. Does anyone in here make resolutions? New Year's resolutions? Sometimes we resolve to get in better shape. Maybe we resolve to get out of debt. Maybe we resolve to... Is this thing on? Do I need to stay over here? Am I good? We make all kinds of resolutions, though. We resolve to live better lives. We maybe resolve to do things differently. But you know, there we go. It's a little loud. Man, that whole thing's torn apart back there. Okay. Let's go down just a little bit. All right. We're going to resolve to get our sound system fixed, right? But all these resolutions that we make or have made, they're great. And praise God if we follow through. But they're all temporary because they're all of this earth. They're all physical. I challenge us this year to make a resolution that lasts for eternity. Make a resolution to follow Jesus. If that means becoming a Christian, then take that step. If you are a Christian, but you've not followed him in the ways that he wants you to, or maybe in the ways that you've wanted to, resolve to change that. Read his word. Study it. Come to class. Show your kids how important it is for you to learn about God and for them to learn about God. You know, I was sitting at the kitchen island this morning looking over my sermon, and Tiara came down, and she sat beside me, and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm looking over my sermon. It's about following Jesus." And she said, "I know what that means." I said, "You do? What's it mean?" She says, "Well, it means we sing to him, and it means we walk with him, and then one day when we die, we go to heaven." I thought, that's a pretty good explanation. Maybe I should just let you preach this morning, because that's what it boils down to. But it's important for us to remember that and to resolve to follow him, even if we've been Christians for 50 years, because we miss that. And the world zaps us of that at times. Today's sermon is titled, Follow Jesus to the River. And we don't have a screen. I have a screen, but you don't have a screen. But if you did have a screen, it would say, Follow Jesus, dot, 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 to the river. Now, there was nothing extraordinary about the Jordan River. It was just a really common body of water. It was a place where common people would come to fill up their water pails. It's a place where common people would allow their livestock to drink. It was a common place where common folk would bring their clothes to wash or their dishes to wash. Nothing magnificent about the Jordan River until one day when a man named Jesus showed up at the banks. Before Jesus came, though, there was another man sent by God. Y'all know what his name is, right? John. John the Baptist. And John was a simple man. He wore hair, clothes, we're told, of camel's hair. He ate honey and insects for dinner. I'd rather have Mexican food myself. He lived on the banks of the river, kind of out of society. But he traveled along those riverbanks, and he preached to anybody who would listen to him. Mark chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says, "And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River." This guy was charismatic. He was a man who would draw a crowd, and he was a man in the wilderness who would speak to people. They would come to hear him and be baptized by him. And among those people that came was a 30-year-old carpenter named Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus stepped down into this common river, probably the water up to his waist, and he stepped down into that river to be baptized by John. Now the people gathered there, they had come to hear John preach, but what they were about to experience was a miracle. And what they were about to experience, they could have never in a million years anticipated. Charlie just read it for us. It comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" Can you imagine being there and hearing the words of God? That would be awesome. That would be breathtaking. And these people who lined up to hear a sermon from a good preacher got to experience so much more that day. And it's easy to understand why John would be a little hesitant to baptize Jesus, isn't it? I mean, think about that. We're just given a little snippet here where he says, "Why do you come to me?" And Jesus says, "Let it be now, this is proper." And then we're told John consented. But don't you imagine there was a lot more of an exchange there? I would love to have heard what went on there. John had been preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. And Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, one who had never sinned, came to him. So why did Jesus come to John in the first place? We're going to consider three reasons this morning, and there's probably many more, but we're going to consider three. First of all, Jesus came to John that day for a purpose. Repentance means to turn. That's what that word means. The prophet Ezekiel explained what it is that God wants his people to turn from. He says in Ezekiel 14:6, "Repent and turn away your faces from all your abominations." And then another prophet, Isaiah, tells us what to turn toward. Isaiah 45:22, Isaiah writes, "Turn to me and be saved, for I am God, and there is no other." All through the Bible, God is pleading with his people time and time again to turn away from your sin, to turn away from your mistakes, to turn away from your failures, and to turn toward him, trusting in God that only he can save. That's what repentance means. And John's baptism and our baptism is intimately connected to repentance. You see, baptism marks a turning point for the person being baptized. A turning point away from a life of sin toward a life with God. So why did Jesus come? We got screen now? Well, we did. Jesus came, even though he didn't have any sins to turn away from, but he came, and this baptism marked a turning point in his life. Before coming down to the river to meet John, Jesus was a carpenter in the small town of Nazareth. But from that day on, he began his ministry. He began his mission of being Savior of the world. His baptism marked the beginning of what we would call his public work. And he went from a life as somewhat of an obscure carpenter there in Nazareth to becoming the light of the world, the Savior of all mankind. It was a turning point. But his baptism meant so much more than this. As Jesus descended into that water in the Jordan River that day, he was coming down to our level. Think about that. John MacArthur writes the following. Christ was here identifying himself with sinners. Baptism was for the immoral, the impure, the liars, adulterers, and thieves. And yet Jesus willingly plunged into the water as if to say, I'm with them. I've said it before and I'll say it as long as I'm privileged to have this job. There is no place Jesus Christ won't go to save souls. And in the river that day, he was symbolizing his coming down to our level. Jesus himself explained in Matthew 3:15, let it be so now, for it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. His love for us, his desire to save you, caused him to come and take on human flesh. And he came to the river this day, not because he'd sinned, but because we've sinned. He came to the river this day, not because he need washed, but because we need cleansing. He did what was right that day, because so often we do what's wrong. He became like us so that we could become like him. Praise God for that. His ministry began in the river and ended on the cross. And even though his followers would not recognize it at this time, Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River that day was a foreshadowing of what was to come, a foreshadowing of his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. Jesus went to be baptized that day for purpose. Jesus also went to John that day to be baptized, to begin painting a picture about eternal life. You see, the Jews saw baptism as a method for maintaining purification for priests or sometimes as a rite of passage. And John preached about a baptism with repentance for forgiveness of sins. John acknowledged that apart from God, we're all unclean. But Jesus would add a whole new level to what this meant. It became a living picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection that he was about to experience. This is what Paul writes in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. The waters of baptism provided Jesus with a way to identify with us, and they provide us with a way of identifying with him. Roy Lesson, in his inspirational book, writes this. The waters of baptism paint a vivid picture of our Christian faith, symbolizing the cleansing of our hearts from sin, death to our old way of living, and resurrection with Christ to walk in newness of life. Colossians 2:12 says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. James 2:22 says, you see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Through faith, and only through faith, the waters of baptism become a place where we encounter Jesus, where we meet him. And by our faith, our baptism pencils us into this portrait that Jesus paints of his death, burial, and resurrection. When we descend into that water, we become part of Christ. We experience faith, through our faith, what Jesus experienced that day in the Jordan. But Jesus' baptism marked a beginning point for his ministry. And our baptism today, when we become Christians, that marks a beginning point, not an end point. And you know the interesting thing? We hear people talk all the time, and you know, we've said it, and we know that it's out there. People have this notion that I need to do something before I become a Christian. I need to know something or realize something or get things straight before I become baptized. But church, there's not much we're required to know before we're baptized. If you know you're a sinner who needs saved and that Jesus is your Savior and you want a life with God, that's all you need. Baptism doesn't require a biblical degree. Baptism doesn't require years of knowledge. Baptism doesn't require passing a test. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. It was the beginning point for his ministry. It is the beginning point in our journey with Christ today. Jesus went to that river to begin painting a portrait that we all can be in. And Jesus went to the river that day to show God's power and love. Picture what that would have looked like. Jesus goes down into the water. He comes up out of the water, soaked to the bone. Probably had long hair, and the long hair stuck to his face as he came up out of that water. But this was far from any normal baptism. Because once that happened, something miraculous occurred. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, Matthew writes. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Don't you imagine that voice sounding a lot like James Earl Jones or somebody like that? I'd love to know what it sounded like. What an awesome thing this would have been. And it's not so much that the Holy Spirit came down like a dove, but it's that the Holy Spirit came down from heaven in a visible form that everybody could see. And the Bible says it came to rest on him and remained on him, showing God's love and God's power. And believe it or not, everyone here today has the invitation to receive that same power. We each are given the Spirit of God when we're baptized. John the Baptizer pointed out like this in Mark chapter 1, verse 8, "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink." The Holy Spirit is a promise to everyone who believes in Jesus and is obedient to him. The Bible tells us in Acts 2, 38 and 39, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Charles Stanley writes the following, "It is the Holy Spirit who baptizes us into Christ. He is the one who completely covers us with the redemptive shed blood and presence of Christ Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us our new identity in Christ so that we are truly born again spiritually." The physical act of the water of baptism demonstrates a spiritual reality. It's the washing of us by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter how much water, how much H2O we get. You like that chemistry reference, Gabe, H2O? Doesn't matter how much water we get, how much soap and detergent we get, none of us can ever physically wash away our sins. There's only one kind of detergent that does that. Tide doesn't sell it. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the only thing that can wash us. Water baptism symbolizes the work of God's Spirit within our hearts. Jesus time and time again talks about the Holy Spirit as being living water. Don Colbert, in his book, The Seven Pillars of Health, dedicates seven chapters to the positive benefits of water, H2O. He says, "Water is the single most important nutrient of our bodies. It is involved in every function of our bodies." And he goes on to explain positive benefits of keeping ourselves hydrated. It includes greater energy, a heightened immune system, better nutrient absorption, prolonged life, weight loss, greater metabolic efficiency,
reduced risk of heart attack, improved attention span. Some of y'all need that today. Just kidding. And it has a positive benefit of a better memory. And the list goes on and on. It's amazing what just a little bit of H2O can do. And if natural water is that important for us physically, then how much more important will spiritual water be for our souls? That's what Jesus offers, living water from God's Spirit. It does for our souls far more than what H2O does for our bodies. Max Lucado says, you do not have to live with a dehydrated heart. God invites you to treat your thirsty soul as you would treat any physical thirst. Just drink. Let Christ be the water for your soul. Come thirsty and drink the water of life. Like the morning dew on dry grass, the gift of God's Spirit refreshes, revitalizes, and renews dry and thirsty souls. Amen. As we set out on 2019, where are you in your walk with the Lord? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? You know, when we decide to follow Jesus, our first steps will lead us to the riverbanks or to the baptistry. There's less mud here. Our first steps lead us to that, to be baptized into Jesus, where we are baptized for the remission of our sins and we receive the gift of God's Spirit and we identify with Christ. If you've never taken that step, start this year off with that. Resolve to be a follower of Jesus. If you're here this morning and you are a follower of Jesus, resolve to follow Him in 2019 like you've never followed Him before. You know, God promises us daily that He will renew us. He will renew our spirit. He will give us that living water. Pray for that. Pray for that regeneration. We all need that every day. We all need renewed and true. The trueness that we need only comes from Jesus. Be thankful that we have that opportunity. You know, this life beats us down, doesn't it? This world throws things at us. People are cruel. The world's cruel. And we might get dragged out. We might feel thirsty regularly. But our thirst spiritually can only be quenched by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've never received Him today and been baptized into Him, make this the day. If there's any way we can help you in any way, we will invite you to come now as we stand and sing.